It's wonderful because it's true. Right. Amen. Yeah. Not just because of the way it sounds. Right. I certainly enjoy the way it sounds. But it's wonderful because of the message. Right. It's true.
Amen.
I'm glad God is nigh.
Right.
Aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord for His goodness, but also thank the Lord for His closeness.
Amen.
You know, if God were just good and just not close,
right,
how would that benefit us?
Right.
But I'm glad that God is more than good.
Amen.
I'm glad that He's nigh.
Amen.
He's close. So I thank God for His goodness, but I sure do thank God for His closeness too. In all walks of life. Well, the scripture that was read in your hearing this morning is some scripture that God has laid on my heart. And I want to just spend some time. I just want to talk to you a little bit this morning and lay some foundation, some groundwork. And I tell you, there's a lot of things in me just screaming to get out. And you say, what is it, preacher? Well, we're going to find out here because I feel a preaching storm coming on. Amen. I'm telling you, brethren, God has really been dealing with my heart. I hadn't slept much lately. And I'm finding out the more, the less that I sleep, the better off that I am when it comes to this thing with just spending time with God. Now, sleep's good, so don't go home and say, well, I'm going to be like the preacher. I'm just going to stay up, you know, all the time. Well, there's a flip side of that, too. You get tired. But during those wee hours of the morning when God won't let you sleep and He's just speaking to your heart about some things, those are good times. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Say amen. Now, sometimes I don't stay awake voluntarily. I don't. I love to sleep. But sometimes God says, I don't want you to sleep. And if you won't stay, now this is for me. If you won't stay awake voluntarily, I'll keep you awake. And He's done that. And I'm glad that He has. I can't say there's ever been a time that God's kept me awake that I haven't benefited from it. So I've been thinking about this phrase here. Can we have that? We can put on the boards. What saith the scriptures? What saith the scriptures? And so God just ministering to my heart, I thought about these passages of scripture. Did you notice some things in those scriptures? Kept saying according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, according to the scripture, according to the scripture. Then over in Galatians, what saith the scripture? Then Romans, what saith the scripture? And I got to thinking about this, and God really began to burn in my heart some things. You know, if we're not careful now, and I'm talking about us Bible-believing folks,
right,
okay?
Right.
Us Bible-believing folks. I'm not talking about liberals.
Right.
Liberals don't even believe the Bible.
Right.
So you know, they don't care what the Scripture says.
Right.
I'm talking about theological liberals.
Yeah.
Listen, those who are liberal theologians, they don't believe the Bible.
Right.
Listen, they're going to cut half of it out. I'm not being mean, not throwing stones, I'm just stating facts here, okay?
Right.
What saith the scripture? That ought to be our main concern in life.
Yeah.
What's God say?
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what's become our main concern.
Right.
What did grandma say?
Right. Right.
Or what did the preacher say?
Yeah.
Or how do I feel? Or what do I want it to say? You know,
yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
And if we're not careful now, listen to me, if we're not careful, what will happen in our lives is as fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, sin-hating, Christ-honoring, God-loving Christians, we'll fall back on some things, maybe traditions of men.
Right.
Maybe the way we've always done it. Or maybe the way we've always heard it.
Right.
And not what God said. And so I just feel that it would be God's will on Sunday mornings, maybe throughout the entire year, just what does the Scripture say? About what, preacher? Well, this morning we're going to just begin about for three services, what does the Scripture say about the Scripture? What does the Scripture say about the Scripture? You say, what do you mean? What does the Bible say about the Bible? What does God say about His Word? See, some people say, well, you know, it's just a writing. It's antiquated. A group of men got together and wrote down some things and their lessons to live by. Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says at all about the Bible. The Bible says some things about the Bible. What saith the Scripture about the Scripture? But I want to find out what the Scripture says about sin. See, we've got some folks who obviously don't understand what the Bible says about sin. Because they're sitting in their church houses living in it. Thinking they're okay with God. I got to tell you something. Sin separates from God.
Amen.
So we want to find out. And I don't want to be mean. I just want to be straight.
Right.
What does the Bible say about sin? What saith the Scripture?
Right.
What saith the scripture about salvation? We got some folks, listen, you ask this person, they say, well, I think you get to heaven this way. You ask this, well, I think you get to heaven this way. You ask, well, you know, the Methodists say you get to heaven this way, preacher. Well, you know, the Pentecostals say you get to heaven this way, preacher. Well, you know, the Catholics say you get to heaven this way. The Baptists say this way. What saith the scripture?
Amen.
What does God say?
Right. Amen.
See, that's what I want to know.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
See, I want to know what God says. And so I just believe if we just turn to the Bible, what does God say about heaven? I tell you, I get dismayed when I hear what folks are saying. You know, our loved ones are going to come and sit around the table with us. No, they're not. That little baby, our little baby that died, he gained his wings. He's an angel now. The Bible doesn't say that. Far better than an angel. Amen. Don't shortcut what God has for you. Amen. Understand what saith the scriptures. What does the Bible say about heaven? Who goes there? When do they go there? What happens when they get there? So, well, I sure would like to talk to some professor. We don't need a professor. We've got the scripture.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? And if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll start letting our feelings drive, and we'll start letting what man's word and what the teachings of some college professor says instead of what saith the scripture.
Right.
Let's see what saith the scripture about heaven, hell, the family. Can I tell you that God has spoken in his words to all things that pertain to life and godliness? The scripture. And it seems like we've gotten away from the Bible. We just believe any body of truth or so-called truth that we want to believe because it feels good. Listen, truth may not always feel good, but it'll set you free.
Right.
Sometimes truth can be brutal.
Yep.
Somebody say amen with me.
Amen.
Truth can be brutal, but thank God it can set us free.
Right.
There's some good, straight, hard truth, but it's the truth that'll make you free.
Amen.
Truth is good for you.
Amen.
And so we want to see, and that's what the scripture is. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, truth is what we are after. We're after truth. We're not after opinions. We're not after positions. We're not after preferences. I want some truth.
Amen.
I need some truth.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
Whether we realize we need it or not, we need it.
Sure.
And so I want to take just a few moments and just give you a couple of simple thoughts. Going to lay out, I hope, a foundation that'll help springboard us into a new year. The first thing that I want you to understand as you turn to Genesis chapter 1, would you turn there, Genesis 1? I love the way the Bible begins because we're going to see what the scripture says about the scripture. And so I'm laying in bed. I forgot what night it was. Well, actually, it was a morning. And couldn't sleep. And God just brought this thought to my mind. You say, preacher, you didn't have a vision, did you? No. Didn't have a vision. I didn't even have a dream. God just brought some scripture to my mind. And I began to kind of replay some scripture in my mind about the law of the Lord being perfect. Amen. The testimonies of the Lord being sure. And I began to think about how God refers to his word. And I thought, wow, that's powerful. That's important stuff. It's important. And so I thought about what's important in life? Well, first of all, notice what God did here in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. That's where it begins, right there. You know what? You search far and wide, high and low, east and west, north and south. You'll never find a book that begins like this book. In the beginning, God. God said, I'm not going to explain to you where I come from. I don't owe you an explanation.
Amen.
Where'd God come from? God said, if I wanted you to know where I'd come from, I'd have told you. You couldn't handle it if I gave it to you.
Right. Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Your mind can't handle truth the way that God can give it. His ways, listen, there's some truth that we're not ready to handle in this life.
Right.
We need to get hold of that. There's some things about God that we can't handle in this life.
Right.
His ways are higher than our ways.
Right.
His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You can't bring God down in a box. Now, God will reveal some secret things to you, if you mean business now. But you can't be cavalier about this thing We can't just casually go through this act of Christianity and say, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of be a Sunday morning Christian and expect God to reveal some deep things. God doesn't do that. But now, if you want to get serious with God, and I want to get serious with God, God will roll back the curtain and show you some things, reveal some deep things of God to us. Amen. And so he said, in the beginning, God. I thought about this. What could be more important than this? What is this? God is. Now listen to me. First thought, God is. Say, well, I don't believe in God. That doesn't change the fact. God is.
Amen.
I haven't experienced God. God is.
Amen.
I don't believe in God the way you do. God is.
Amen.
In the beginning, God. Amen. Well, you know, this professor down at some liberal Bible college said that God wasn't. That doesn't change the fact that God is. Well, there's some preachers over here preaching that God isn't. That doesn't change the fact that God is. What if I don't believe it, preacher? You're still going to answer to him. God is. God is, amen. Well, if we could just get a hold of that, it would change the way we even approach life. God is. Now, there are some attributes about God before we get into his word. See, where I'm going with this is what could be more important than the fact that God is? Well, I want to get you where I'm going. And I'll whet your appetite a little bit. God is, this God that I'm going to tell you about this morning, has spoken. Now think about that. God is. Now if God is, but yet God hasn't spoken, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because if God is, and he is, and he's all that he says he is, and then some, he's holy. You listening?
Yeah.
He's righteous.
Yeah.
He's more than just righteous. He's omni-righteous.
Right.
He's all righteous.
Right.
He is the embodiment in Jesus Christ of holiness. God is. And God is all that he says he is. And if God is all he says he is, and he is, and this God has spoken, we might all find out what he has to say.
Right. Right.
Amen. Can I tell you that I don't know who does these surveys, but I think I'm going to quit reading them. They bring great discouragement to my heart. They say that, you know, less than 40% of professing Christians now, people who say they're saved, even read their Bible. Listen, it'd be hard for me to accept that a person believes that God wrote this book and didn't read it. Somebody say amen with me now. Hey. Somebody say amen. You believe God wrote a book and you won't read it? I don't believe you believe God wrote a book. You see what I'm saying? See, if God wrote this book, brethren, if the God I'm going to present to you from the Bible this morning wrote a book, and this is that book, I believe we'd read it. Don't you? Somehow there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect. Don't let the enemy now. Don't let the enemy keep you from reading God's book. This God's book right here.
Amen.
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 This is not just some compilation of writings from men. This is the holy, infallible, inspired Word of God right here.
Amen.
God is. Now, what is God? Well, look if you would. Number one, I'm going to give you five supreme attributes of this God that has written or spoken. Now, he moved upon holy men of old. We're going to talk about that. See, God has given us a book. We have it. We have God's book.
Amen.
I mean, if we could just get a hold of that. God has spoken, and he's preserved it. He's written it down, and he's preserved it, and we now have a copy. God has spoken. I want to find out what God has to say. Well, God starts out by saying, I'm going to tell you something about myself. Amen. God is. God is what? Well, look at this. In the beginning, God. We'll stop right there. That tells me something about God. God is sovereign. I want you to write that word down. The sovereignty of God. That means the supreme God. There's none above him. He's sovereign. He is final authority. Everything begins and ends with God. Not man.
Right.
Not the laws of man, not the laws of the land. Hear me now. God, what God said, that's what we need to be seeking. In the beginning, God. Say, preacher, that doesn't sound very deep. Listen, when you really begin to think, our minds can't comprehend that. God even came down on our level. He condescended to our level just so we could get this. Because with God, there is no beginning. There is no end. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. See, God came down into our time frame. God came down on our level so that we could just get a glimpse of who He is. God.
Amen.
He's sovereign.
Amen.
He's over everything.
Amen.
There's nothing that's outside of His rule.
Right.
There's nothing outside of His control, brethren.
Amen.
The God of heaven I speak to you about this morning. Our God is God. And there's none beside Him, brethren.
Amen.
There's none beside Him. So the sovereignty of God. You know anything about that? The sovereignty. God is in complete control. So, preacher, I'm worried. I'm concerned. Well, listen, I'm not saying that we ought to live a nonchalant, uncaring type of life, but don't you get too worked up over it now. Don't be fretting too much, because there's a God who's in control of it all.
Amen.
And He is our God.
Amen.
In the beginning, God. Now, watch this. Not only is God sovereign, I thought about this when I thought about the sovereignty of God. Oh, Moses, he learned about it, didn't he? God said, Moses, we heard about it in Sunday school. Abraham, God said, going to work the impossible in your life. Well, God did that for a lot of His people. I thought about Moses. I want you to go and I want you to tell that Pharaoh back there, let my people go. Now just think about this for a moment, all right? And Moses said, whoa, wait a minute. Man, I murdered a man back there, and you want me to go back there? I mean, these people, they're pretty powerful. They got the most powerful army on the face of the earth. I don't know. I got like this, I don't know, the shepherd's crook here. Man, these people, we're talking about people with chariots and swords. Hey, man, armor. I mean, they've whipped my people for right near 400 years now. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just know they're going to ask, you know, by what authority do you come? Whose name are you sent in? They're going to ask me, what should I tell them? Well, I tell you, it's one of the greatest answers that's ever been given. One of the greatest revelations and the manifestations of who God is. It's right there in Exodus chapter 3. He said, Moses, you tell them that I am has sent thee.
All right. Amen.
Amen. There never has been a time that I haven't been. There's not going to be a time that I'm not, and there never will be a time that I'm not. I'm the self-sufficient one. I'm the self-sustaining one.
Amen.
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 I'm all that I need. I'm God. Amen. I'll take care of it. That's the God I speak to you about this morning.
Amen.
If we Christians could just get a hold of who our God is, brethren. God.
Yeah.
God. Sometimes I feel that we live. You may never spell God with a small g, but don't you live it that way either. God, help me not to live for God with a small g. I want my God to receive the glory that's due His name.
Amen.
He's sovereign.
Amen.
He's sovereign. In the beginning, God. He's sovereign. Look at this. God created. This speaks of His omniscience. God knows everything. That's what that word means. He's omniscient. See, God knows everything. God not only, listen, is in control of everything. God knows everything. Do you really believe that? This morning, I know our mind. Listen. I understand what I present to you this morning. It's hard for our little finite minds to wrap around it. God knows everything.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
He knows the ending from the beginning. God knows it. God knows it. I don't know what situation you're going through this morning. Could be a good one. Could be a bad one. Could be a not so good one. Could be a not so bad one. I don't know. But I know this. God knows how that's going to turn out. God knows. God knows. God knows everything. So he's sovereign. That is a supreme attribute of God. He's not only sovereign, He is omniscient. God knows everything. Now, I know there's somebody sitting up there saying, I might be God. You're not. Great day in my life when I realized God is God. And I am not. I am so glad I'm not God. Yeah, so folks say, I wish I knew what everyone was thinking. No, you don't. No, you don't. No. Listen, God can know everything you're thinking and still love you the way he loves you. Now you tell me. You tell me what the real definition of love is. Amen. He's omniscient. Look at this. In the beginning, God created. He's omnipotent. God did that, brethren. God, listen, you walk outside and you look around. God did all of this. Our God did all of this, brethren. I've told you before, just turn over. This is one of the most challenging scriptures in all the Bible to me. So in Genesis chapter 1, God's just telling us what he's done. This is what I've done. Then you get over to verse number 16, Genesis 1:16, and God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, we know what that was and is, still shining. Amen? Still shining. And he made the lesser light to rule the night. Now look at this. He made the stars also. I mean, God took five words to describe. When you go out at night and you look up and you see all those balls of fire, amen. You see all that splendor and wonder in the air. God said, I got five words I want to give you. He made the stars also. What? That's something.
Amen.
See, that's God.
Right.
See, if we could make one star, if we could just get something even close to just one, we'd be writing volumes of books about it. God said, I'm going to take five words to tell you about what all that's at. I made all of those. And by the way, you read over in the Psalms, it said, I know how many they are. Now, you can call them myriad, you can call them innumerable, but he said, I've numbered every one of them. I call them by name. Amen.
Yeah.
See, that's the God I speak to you about this morning.
Amen.
God, that God.
Amen.
The God who is sovereign. The God who is omniscient. He knows everything. The God who is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Look at this next statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is omnipresent. There's nowhere that God is not. There's nowhere that God is not, brethren. The psalmist said, I can make my bed in hell and thou would be with me. Whither shall I flee that thou art not by me? Listen, God is everywhere. You say, how can that be? He's God. You say, I can't understand it. That's why he's God and you're not. I'm just saying. I'm talking to you this morning about God. Sometimes we use the name God. We just use it so flippantly. We just kind of throw it around. Some people curse it. Some people use it in slang. But listen, the name of God should be reverenced. The name of God should be honored. The name of God should be extolled, worshiped. God. God is. This God right here. This God is the God that I speak to you about. He's sovereign. He's omniscient. He knows it all. He's sovereign. He's over it all. He's omniscient. He knows it all. He's omnipotent. He's the most powerful of all. Amen.
Amen.
He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Aren't you glad that you don't have to wait on God?
Right.
Amen. You say, well, the Bible says wait on God. Well, that's for your sake.
Right.
Yeah. God's never late. And he's omni-righteous. It means God's all righteous. So these are some things. Now this God right here, I want you to turn to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. And this is where we'll kind of settle in. And I've got just a few more points. I'm just laying a foundation about what we're going to talk about. This God now, this God that I just spoke to you about. And I just skimmed the surface of who God is. I just wanted to give you five. Listen, the attributes of God are many. What do you mean by attributes? That word means characteristics. Can you think of some characteristics that God is to you? Can I tell you that one of the greatest attributes of God that I see in my life is God is patient. Aren't you glad God is patient? Somebody say amen with me. Sometimes I'm not as patient as I should be with others. And sometimes you're not as patient as you should be with others. But I sure am glad God's patient. He's long-suffering that way. Amen. God is faithful. See, I'm talking to you about characteristics, who God is, not just, listen, we get so affixed sometimes on what God does, and listen, God has, everything he does is marvelous. It's hard not to get fixated on that. But sometimes we forget, in light of what God does, we forget who God is. God is all righteous. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's in control. God is faithful. God is loving. God is long-suffering. These are attributes of God. I'm so thankful for the attributes of, I'm so glad for who God is. Now this God, according to Hebrews chapter number 1, look at this. You're in Hebrews. God, that God, okay, what God? The God of Genesis 1. That God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake. Okay, now things are going to change a little bit. See, when we're looking at Genesis 1, we envision the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Right? But now this God has said something. He has spake. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yeah. Hebrews 1 verse 1, who at sundry times and divers manners. We need to find out what that means. What are you saying? He said, well, I'm going to tell you God spoke. He said, I'm going to tell you how he spoke. How did God speak? And he spoke in sundry times and at divers manners. What does that mean? What's it mean to you? Well, God spoke. Okay, well, at sundry times. Sundry, you know what that word means? Listen, you ought to look it up. It's a very interesting word. It's a word that means that, you know, here a little, there a little, in pieces, God spoke. Okay, now watch what he says. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past, look, to the fathers by the prophets. So he gave some to this prophet. What did he give to this prophet? Well, let's see. Moses said, I'm going to give you one illustration. Okay, Moses said that there's going to come a redeemer, and it's going to be, Genesis 3, of the seed of a woman. But now, that's not where God got through speaking. God said, that's just a little bit. That's sundry. That's just a little bit there. Okay? And then later, he said in Isaiah chapter 7, that this seed that's going to be of a woman, well, a virgin shall conceive. Okay, now we have a little bit more of peace. Amen. A virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a child. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Right? And then the prophet Micah said that she's going to conceive and she's going to bring forth this child in the town of Bethlehem. We just got through celebrating that. Right. See, God didn't just spell it all out line upon line. God said, all right, I want a sundry. All right, sundry. Little piece here, seed of a woman. Another little piece over here, born of a virgin. Another little piece over here, Micah, in the town of Bethlehem. Another little piece over here in the book of Genesis 49 of the house of David. Another little piece over here in Numbers of the tribe of Judah. You see, God, little bit at a time here, a little bit there. In the times past, he spoke by the prophets. And he gave us a little here and a little there in the times past. That's the way God spoke. At sundry times. And now, listen, not only did it say at sundry times, look at it, and in divers manners. The word divers just means, the word that we use today is diverse. Same word. Right? Yeah. So, God may have spoke to this one over here, and he may have done it in a loud, thundering voice like Sinai. But now, he didn't do it over here that way. He did it in a still, small voice. And he didn't do it over here this way. He did it in a vision. Right? And this one had a dream. Joseph. You see, God's speaking. And God is saying, I have a message. I have a message as the God of the universe. I have a message to man. Now, please don't miss this. We're talking this morning about what saith the scriptures. And God said, I have a message. I am God, and I have a message to my creation. I have a message to man. And so I'm going to speak that message. I am so glad that God did this. Verse number 2 of Hebrews 1 says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. I'm glad that God spoke to us by his Son.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that we have the words of the prophets, but I sure am glad we have the words of the Christ and of the apostles. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for the words of God? Brethren, I'm so thankful that God has given his word. Now, we're going to close here. I'm just going to lay one more piece here, okay? So turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this is where we'll close. So, number one, God is. Brethren, that's just realization. God is. Number two, God has spoken. That's revelation. All right? That's what the Word of God is called. It's the revelation. It's the revealing of God. God has revealed Himself to man through His Word. And God has a message for us. God's message to man. And so, in the Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So, God is realization. God has spoken, revelation. But I'm glad that's not where it ends. The words that God has spoken, He has inspired them. That's inspiration. That means that God protected and guarded them to see that there was no error in His message to man. God said, this message that I give to man, please hear me this morning, is so important that not even one word needs to be off. Not even one letter. Jesus put it this way, not one jot nor one tittle. That is the smallest letter and the smallest indention in the Hebrew alphabet. Not any of that shall be removed except my law be fulfilled. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. See, this word's important, brethren. And God said, I'm not going to leave this up to chance. And I'm not going to leave this up to fallible man and sinful man. I'm going to use him. I'm going to use the divine element. Holy men of old, 2 Peter 1:21. Holy men of old spake. That's the human element. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the divine element. Amen. Amen. God said, I'm not going to leave it up to man. Now, this book is the book of God. I don't believe that, preacher. Doesn't matter what you believe. Hear me now. Hear me now. I know what folks are saying. Oh, well, now you can't have a preserved, inspired copy of God's Word. Got one right here in this old King James Bible, amen, amen. For the English-speaking people. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. I know what they're saying in these liberal colleges, these liberal churches won't preach nothing. Hear me now. They don't want you to know what God has said. They're trying to keep back the truth of God. They're suppressing the truth of God because they don't want you to know what God has said. Why? The enemy doesn't want you to know what God has said. Amen. Because God has said, I am God, and beside me there is none other. And I have a message for you. And the message is, I have spoken, and I have inspired my word. All Scripture, look at it. It's given by inspiration. That word there means God breathed. Exactly what it means. Amen. The breath of God. What's that mean, preacher? What would the breath of God do to a lifeless form of clay in the garden? The breath of God filled the nostrils of Adam, and Adam became a living soul. You know why? Because the breath of God is life. Adam did not only become a living soul. Listen to me now. But Adam possessed the authority and the power to procreate life. Can I tell you, this book right here has got that same power and authority. Amen. To bring forth life. Amen. To raise the dead. To quicken those who are dead in trespasses and sin. Amen. God said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. This is God's book.
Amen.
This is not the preacher's book.
Right.
I want it to be the book that the preacher lives by. But this is not my book. This is God's book.
Amen.
This is not Paul's book.
Right.
This is not Peter's book.
Right.
This is not Isaiah's book, Jeremiah's book. This is the book of God, brethren.
Amen.
And this is the authority that we can stand on in the day in which we live.
Amen.
Well, I have more, and we'll pick up here tonight, Lord willing. God is. And God has spoken. And everything that God has spoken that He wanted us to know in a message, He has inspired and preserved and put in what we call the canon of Scripture that we call the Bible. Do you have a Bible? If you do, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. We just need to grab this Bible and hold it and hug it and say, God, thank you.
Amen.
Where would I be without your word?
Amen.
Where would we be without this book, brethren? Where would we be? I'm so thankful to God that I live in a country that has mass-produced this book, that I could have a copy of this book, Amen. The Word of God, Amen. In my native tongue.
Amen.
There are people that this week, if not already, will receive a shipment of a few copies of the Word of God, and they will gather by the multitudes, by the hundreds, to get just one page of the Word of God in their native tongue. We have copies of the entire canon of Scripture laying around the house. God help me and God help you. To love this book.
Amen.
It's the book of God. As we stand, I thought about some things that I want to read to you as the pianist plays softly. And you just meditate on this. This way we'll close our service today. Though its cover is worn and its pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book, Amen. Worn and old, that can shatter and scatter our fears. When I prayerfully look in the precious old book, many treasures and pleasures I see, many tokens of love from the Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. The old as well as the new, divinely inspired the holy way through. I know the Bible is true. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came. Mine to teach me what I am. Mine to chide me when I rove. Mine to show a Savior's love. Mine thou art to guide and guard. Mine to punish or reward. Mine to comfort in distress, suffering in this wilderness. Mine to show by living faith, man can triumph over death. Mine to tell of joys to come and the rebel sinner's doom. Oh, thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Brethren, we are a blessed people. God is, and God has spoken. What did He speak to you from His book this week? Were you in His book? Were you looking through the pages to get a word from the Almighty? I pray that if you don't have a time that you daily sit aside to get in this old blessed book, that God would speak to your heart and challenge you. Get in the Word. God has spoken. He's got a word for you. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with light sublime. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Father, I pray that you would take your word. And I pray that we would continue to delve into your word and see what saith the scriptures about the scriptures. We know your word to be infallible, without error, no possibility of an error. Because it is the Word of God in whom there is no error. Help us to receive your Word, not as the Word of a man, but as it is in truth the Word of God. Help us to preach your Word. It's called servants of God. Help us to live your Word as born again children of God. Help us to spread your Word as concerned Christians, missionaries. We might be a testimony to those without. In Jesus' name, amen.